I'm delighted to welcome to the Radio Cafe Amy Goodman. She is journalist, author, host of Democracy Now!, and she will be at the Lenzic Center for Performing Arts tonight. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
It's great to be with you.
So I wanted to ask you some things about independent journalism and Democracy Now! How has the independent media landscape changed since you started doing Democracy Now! In 1996?
Well, we are celebrating our 18th birthday. We actually first went on the air February 19th, 1996. And we are so thrilled now to be broadcasting on over 1,200 public radio and television stations and right here on KSFR. And now we're newly on New Mexico PBS. So we're very excited about this. And I think the way the media landscape has changed is that it's ever more important to support public media. We see the fierce consolidation of corporate media, and that has to be challenged, and the public spaces must not only be maintained but expanded. You know, I just recently returned from Japan, and we did a three-day broadcast from Japan, from Tokyo. And this week, we broadcast our interview with the former Prime Minister, Naoto Kan. We broadcast it on Tuesday, which was the third anniversary of the Fukushima meltdown, the meltdown of the reactors. And to be able to bring you his voice, this one of the few sitting world leaders who changed his position in office. He was a total pro-nuclear guy. 30% of Japan's energy comes from nuclear power. And then when the plants melted down, he realized he might have to evacuate 50 million people from Tokyo. And he said, this is not worth the price. And he is now has become an outspoken opponent of nuclear power. Rarely, I mean, in this country, do you hear the voice of someone as high level as he is speaking out against nuclear power. In Japan, the media is heavily influenced what's known as the nuclear village, the nuclear power companies, since so much of their energy relies on nuclear power. Yet the overwhelming number of Japanese people are opposed to nuclear power. It's very similar in the United States. You know, you have President Obama, who is for nuclear power, and he is pushing forward on a plant in Georgia, first plant to be built in close to 40 years. Yet when most people are confronted with information about the dangers of nuclear power, they are not for it. And that's why when the Fukushima meltdown happened, you know, NBC just did a big expose on internal email where the Nuclear Regulatory Commission said, do not answer questions about this, because they knew what the fallout could be in all the different senses of the word. There were Japanese scientists visiting the NRC at the time, and they said, don't let the press know, because they were terrified. And we need a public media that links people all over the world. We all are dealing with, coping with the same issues.
To what extent is Democracy Now! Taken seriously as competition, as a real voice by the corporate media? And I ask this because you do so much traveling, and there seems to be kind of like two worlds in this country, the people who are completely devoted to Democracy Now! And then people who've never even heard of Democracy Now!
Well, I mean, our broadcast is bigger than any program on CNN. You'd be amazed at how small the numbers are on CNN. We're talking about numbers in like the tens of thousands range on CNN. We are much larger than that. Millions of people access Democracy Now! Through public television, radio, and on the internet, which we began on the internet as far back as we have been broadcasting 18 years ago, because we relied on it as a free way to send. At the time, it was just radio, and now we've expanded to television. But I think there is a great awareness among the networks of Democracy Now! The journalists watch and listen to Democracy Now! It's a great source of ideas for subjects to cover. You know, unlike the networks where the average soundbite is 8 or 9 seconds, we really delve into issues. And when there's an issue in a community, we really search out who are the leaders, not anointed by the media, but in the communities, the people who are considered the leaders. And the fresh, authentic voices you hear on Democracy Now! That you hear nowhere else. So the networks are very aware of Democracy Now!, often call us for contact information, for ideas, newspapers as well. I'm thinking about just last week when we had Eddie Conway on. He left prison in Maryland after 44 years a prisoner.
Yeah.
And he didn't even speak when he walked out, but he came on the show the next day within 24 hours. He hadn't slept since he had left the prison. And we thought, will he even speak, you know, staring into a camera in a Baltimore studio? But he held forth about what prison conditions are like, who's in prison, who isn't. He's a former Black Panther. And many felt he was targeted for actually his political activity in the Baltimore City Council over a decade ago, called on the governor to pardon him. But finally, after 44 years, he was released. And this isn't pundits talking about prison. You don't often have pundits even talking about prison. But this is people themselves who have experienced it. And that authenticity, I think, is the power of Democracy Now!
What are the challenges that Democracy Now! Faces as a news organization, given that you're fundamentally non-commercial?
Well, in the same way that KSFR is in the midst of your fundraising drive right now, which is both its strength and the bane of all of our existence, that is, you don't turn to corporations when you are trying to raise your budget. You turn to the listeners and you say, please support this station. And the reason listeners should support KSFR is because of exactly what you're able to hear. It's no coincidence that the kinds of issues that are raised here are raised because you're not beholden to corporate interests. I mean, you bring out a full diversity of voices, and Democracy Now! Has to do the very same thing. I think it's our strength, as it is for KSFR, because it goes to the power of the broadcast. I mean, the idea that when we cover war, and not brought to you by the weapons manufacturers, when we cover climate change, we're not brought to you by the oil, gas, and coal companies, when we cover health care, we're not brought to you by the insurance industry or big pharma, the drug companies, but brought to you by the listeners, which, by the way, is why I also think folks should call into KSFR right now and support your station. There is nothing more valuable. It's the place where you can have the public conversation that leads to the decisions that shape policy in this country.
Are you ever approached by corporate interests, maybe that have more of a progressive point of view, to support Democracy Now?
We're public media, so that
they don't underwrite you.
These corporations wouldn't do that. We are committed to, I mean, we are a global broadcast. We broadcast on over 1,200 stations in the United States and around the world. So we have, you know, Democracy Now! In Japanese. We have Democracy Now! In Spanish. We broadcast through Sweden and South Africa. And so I think it is a great model for the rest of the world. I mean, in places like Japan, you know, I spoke at the Japanese Press Club, the Foreign Correspondents Association, and in Kyoto, in Tokyo. And they're often in countries, there's two models. There's the corporate model and there's the government model. But rarely do they have independent media like we have in this country. And I think it's so important to put that forward, that yes, listeners, viewers, readers will support a news organization that is committed to being independent and corporate-free.
Where do you think the technological changes in communication, the internet and otherwise, are taking independent journalism?
I think it's not as important what platform it's on. It's the information that you're putting out. From the beginning of Democracy Now! 18 years ago, well, we were doing radio and we were on the internet. Then we expanded to television. But you can read the transcripts of Democracy Now! You can go to our headlines online at democracynow.org, or you can listen on the radio at KSFR, or on television from public access to PBS. What counts is the quality of the information, and then people will seek it out any which way they can. There's still a digital divide in this country, people who have access to the internet and those that don't. You know, we're very heavy presence on YouTube and Facebook. And we just feel, no matter what, it's the quality of the information that matters. And that's why we spend so much time going to the heart of the story and bringing you people closest to that story. You know, just this week, GM has had to recall 1.6 million cars. And a criminal probe is being launched into whether they're responsible for the deaths of many people who use their cars where the ignition simply turned off in the middle of a ride. And they've known about this for years. So we had Ralph Nader on, not because he's a typical pundit, but Ralph has a direct connection. You know, yes, he ran for president, and he's a longtime consumer activist. His whole organization got started when GM in the mid-1960s went after him for his book Unsafe at Any Speed. And they, it's something very similar to the national surveillance state we're learning about today. They started monitoring, surveilling, trying to compromise Nader with prostitutes, and he was able to expose this. There was a lawsuit, and he won close to $500,000 settlement that he used to start the Center for the Study of Responsive Law, his big organization, and then the PERG spun off from that. It's fascinating to go back in time to see these this kind of history and then look at where we are today. Is it that difference where you have corporations monitoring our every step and the government?
Right, right. Now, one of the things that is interesting to compare the Bush administration and the Obama administration, the internet helped Obama get elected. There was a tremendous sense of openness and hope. Now we have this tremendous secrecy of the Obama administration. It's going so far as to use the Espionage Act against whistleblowers and journalists. How do you understand this?
I mean, this is such a serious issue. Just this week, we had on Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst, and Mike German, a former FBI agent, and Julie Aguin, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter who wrote the book Dragnet Nation, A Quest for Privacy, Security, and Freedom in a World of Relentless Surveillance. I mean, it is really astounding to see what Obama has done. He used the internet to get elected and was very creative in that, and now has cracked down on more whistleblowers than all presidents combined in history. And we know what's happening with Edward Snowden. And yet look at the conversation, the global conversation that Edward Snowden has provoked, and this will lead to legislation. But, you know, it's not up to one person in the White House, especially as he cracks down on whistleblowers, sending a message. You know, the case of Edward Snowden, it's not even about him. The reason they're trying to get him for treason is because they're sending a message to every other whistleblower to say, don't you do this. We will go after you. We will destroy you. That's not what America is about. America was built on the dissidents and the whistleblowers, the people who are deeply concerned about democracy. And we can decide how we want to build our country. I think public media is about giving voice to those people who are so deeply concerned about our country. It's also what I'll be talking about tonight at the LENSEC, why I'm so excited to come to Santa Fe.
I have seen in New Mexico, I've seen in the United States, that one of the things that sometimes goes by the wayside is real grassroots organizing, which is incredibly effective. In New Mexico, for example, getting immigrant driver's licenses is something that we did over 10 years ago successfully and have stood up to every challenge by our New Mexico governor. And it was because of real ground-level grassroots organizing. What do you think are some of the most effective grassroots organizing efforts on a national level?
I mean, that's always where it's at, is that grassroots organizing. And right now, I mean, you raise the issue of immigrants. You have hundreds of immigrants in Washington State on a hunger strike in an immigration detention facility. You have people on the border from Mexico trying to come into the United States, some of the young dreamers who are challenging immigration laws. You have the establishment immigration organizations that have very much backed Obama, pushing for comprehensive immigration reform, now turning on him in rage that we are hitting this unbelievable landmark of the Obama administration, 2 million people deported, and in one fell swoop, President Obama, with an executive order, could stop these deportations. And so those who supported him the most are now calling him the deporter-in-chief. But it's the organizations, it's the grassroots organizing, it's the young dreamers who came to this country when they were very young, often not knowing that they were not what is known as, you know, legal or documented, that forced President Obama to change the law by sitting in the offices of everyone from Obama's reelection campaign to congressional offices. Immigration organizing has been astounding and has changed this country. Certainly so has civil rights organizing. The whole movement against Stand Your Ground laws has educated people whether or not it has actually changed the laws. Gay and lesbian rights, marriage equality. The country has changed state by state. they found in the case of marriage equality, it wasn't going to start with Congress. It was going to start state by state. When neighbors, no matter what your political view, thought, how can I discriminate against the couple who lives next door to me with their children? And that's really what healthy politics is all about. People knowing each other and not wanting to hurt their neighbors.
So I just have to ask you this. Do you ever take a break?
I do. Well, those plane rides to get to Santa Fe or
I don't mean that.
Arizona.
I mean, like, take a vacation.
And I consider an hour on my couch a month on the Riviera. But I take a break by reading. I am very lucky in my life that I have found in my profession, more than a profession, I have found a job, a mission that I love, and so that all of my moments are engaged in something that I am so deeply dedicated to. So I consider myself very lucky. And sure, I take breaks. I even sleep at night.
Which probably is a little hard to do given some of the stories that you cover.
That's true.
It's just about time to go, but tell people why they should call right now and support KSFR.
Oh, that is easy. You want to support KSFR because you've got an independent public media outlet right here. And I really do hope you call 505-428-1393 right now. It's the lifeline of KSFR. Show your support. If you appreciate hearing Democracy Now! Every day, your daily grassroots, global, unembedded, independent, international investigative news hour, call right now, or Mary Charlotte Show, or all the different broadcasts you get on KSFR. The number to call is 505-428-1393. It really is wonderful to know that you're there, that you're listening, and I can't wait to see folks tonight, Friday night, at the Lensic at 7. It's wonderful to have a virtual community, but it's even more wonderful to get to actually see you, and I consider New Mexico my second home, especially Santa Fe, and I can't wait to do this big joint fundraiser with KSFR and KUNM and New Mexico PBS, KNME. It's really wonderful to bring these public spaces together because we're all in this together.
Amy Goodman is journalist, author, host of Democracy Now!, investigative journalist, inspiration to all of us. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Thank you, everyone.